We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
Now, my friends, I've been talking to you, as you know, for a great many times from the book of Psalms, and I'd like to testify again to the wonderful blessing that's come to my own soul as I have been studying the Psalms anew. You know, you can find out everything about God in the Psalms. He's a great God. He's an all-powerful God. He's a good God. He's a God that never forsakes us. He's a God that takes care of His own. He's a God that looks down from heaven upon nations and upon men and watches over the affairs of the world. What a wonderful God. Now, in the 33rd Psalm here we've been reading, the word of the Lord is right and all His works are done in truth. He's a good God. His word's right. All He does right. Now, it says that He's a God that loves the good things. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Now, it says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. Now, notice, He gathereth the waters of the sea together and as a heap. He layeth up this depth in storehouses. Then He says, when you begin to think about all this wonderful God, these wonderful things He's done, His goodness and His power, then He said, let all the earth fear the Lord, that is, reverence Him. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. Now, why? Well, it said, for He spake and was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Now, I want you to notice this next verse, to which I wish to call special attention at this time. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. Now, heathen in the Bible sense is somebody that's outside of the fold of God. Someone that isn't a member of His family or His people or His nation. When you read of the Gentiles or the heathens in the Bible, in the Old Dispensation, He's talking about folks who are outside the pale. You know, the Jews were God's chosen people, and that country was God's chosen country. So He speaks of other people who have false gods as heathen people. He's talking about the whole unregenerated world. You may not call yourself a heathen, but if God isn't first in your life, you are a heathen. The thing that's placed in your life, that's your God. And a heathen is a man that has some other God instead of the real God. Maybe a little God, maybe a big God. You may not worship graven images like some people do. You may not bow down to stock and stone, but I'm talking to somebody right now who's worshiping a false God. You're just as much of a heathen as somebody that kneels down and worships a little shrine somewhere, a little false God. If something is first instead of God in your life, then you're a heathen. Now, notice what He says. He says, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of people of none effect. But, He says, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart for all generations. I was just thinking a day or two ago, and I think I referred to it in one of my talks. I was just thinking about the incidents in my own personal life. I look back over the years and thought about what some people tried to do to me. And when I was a young fellow, I used to think they were going to ruin me, see? I'd take a position for God, and I was always so constituted, I thought a preacher ought to stand what he believes, regardless of what people say. You can be a perfect gentleman and do that. You give everybody else the same rights you have. You know, in this country of America, it's a wonderful country we live in. You can be a Jew, a Gentile, a Protestant, a Catholic. You can be a Mohammedan if you want to. You can have any kind of religion you want in this country. As long as you let other people do the same thing. You can enjoy your liberty if you don't interfere with anybody else's liberty. You know, we don't have any liberty in America that gives us the right to interfere with anybody else's liberty. But we have a right to worship God according to the dictates of our conscience, do as we please. As far as that's concerned, as long as we please to be decent and not interfere with somebody else's rights. So, I've always gone along with that attitude. A great many people sometimes think we are intolerant. Well, we are the most tolerant people in the world from a standpoint of government. We have friends that don't agree with us. People that belong to different races and have different approach to life. But you know, when a man gets where he trims his convictions to fit everybody, he isn't any good to anybody. You know, I respect a man that says, this is what I believe, this is what I stand for, if he's a sincere man, whether I agree with him or not. Well, I've always been so constituted, if I believed in God, I believe Jesus was the Son of God, and I believe the gospel needs to be preached, and I believe a certain type of education institution ought to be in America, I'd build it. That's the kind of person I've always been, and I've enjoyed my rights. I thank God I live in America with the liberties and privileges we have. As I've told you before, in this country you have a right to run a school for bow-legged people if you want to. I've got a right to build a school for cross-eyed people, knock-kneed people, any sort of school you want, as long as you're decent. So I thought a certain type of school ought to be built. Well, you know, it's a strange thing about people. They forget that we live in America and have American liberties and American privileges. Like I was talking not long ago to a newspaper man. Now, I said, if I run the newspaper, my editorials would be mine. I'd say what I please editorially. I'd take any kind of stand I wanted. But if the worst enemy I had on earth was a news story, I'd put him in the paper. I wouldn't play down any education institution, any church, any man, any institution. If I'd run a newspaper, regardless of who it is, if I didn't agree with him, I'd write an editorial against him. I told this fellow, I said, I'd have utmost respect for your paper if it wrote an editorial against Bob Jones University, against me personally. One of the best friends I ever had in my life was head of a paper that wrote an editorial against me. And his son is editing the paper now. This fellow and I didn't agree. He said, I take issue with Dr. Bob Jones, and wrote an editorial, a strong one. And by the way, he's a good one, too. He's a brilliant writer. And now his son is head of that great paper. Father died my friend. I was his friend. And his son wrote me last year to come over and to write his editorial while he was on his vacation for his paper. I couldn't do it because I was too busy. But that's America. So I've gone on through the years with that sort of attitude towards life. We're not against people, whether they agree with us or not, but under our flag, in our country, where we have our liberty to be a Jew or a Gentile, a Protestant or Catholic, to stand for what we believe and propagate what we believe. It's a wonderful country. Give everybody the same right. But, you know, some people don't see that, so. And as I've gone along through the years, I've had so many people from time to time that would conspire, you know, to thwart your purposes. I've been through that. And a few times it looked like they're going to get me. And I was thinking about the other day, and I looked back. Oh, I just feel like singing, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God for his protection and grace. And the very councils and organizations and planning and scheming of men who are against the gospel, all of it's been brought to naught. And as I've said so many times, I owe as much to those who have been against me as I do those who have been for me. Now, wait a minute. I owe a great deal to friends who have comforted me and helped me and strengthened me and have lifted the load from my shoulders. But, you know, I owe a great deal to the folks who have been opposed to me. I mean my character. Let me put it this way. You know, my enemies have done more for my character than my friends. My friends have done more for my comfort and ease and pleasure and peace. Now, isn't it a wonderful thing to be in a world where we Christian people look up and know if we are doing the will of God, if we are going down the road of his purpose for our lives, that even the wickedness of men and the hatred of men and all that men do to us will be brought to naught. Now, that's what the psalmist says. Psalmist says, God brings a counsel of wicked men to naught. He just says, pay no attention to it. Go on, do your duty. I'm with you. The Lord bring the counsel of the wicked to naught, the heathen to naught. He maketh devices, that is, the schemes and practices of the people, that is, of such people, of none effect. He just makes it ineffective. You know, God just comes along and some fellow stirs up the water and makes it muddy, you know, some sinner. And God comes along and just drops a little tablet of saving grace and neutralizes all the poison and mud and clears up the water for us. Oh, men and women, you can't tell me that God won't take care of you. If you are doing the will of God, if you're faithful to God, don't be afraid of what men can do to you. Let them mount their guns on the battlements of hell. Let them organize all their forces. Throw back your shoulders and stick out your chest and pull in your stomach. And lift up your head and forward march, and don't be afraid of the counsels of wicked men. That's what the psalmist said. You go back through the years and you find that hatred never has won its own purpose. Hatred put Christ on the cross. Hatred tried to eliminate him. But you know what happened? When hatred drove those nails through his hands and that spike through his feet, and hatred put that spear in his side, what did hatred do? Why, hatred made that cross the basis of a song. In the cross of Christ I glory, towering over the wrecks of time. All the light of sacred story gathers round its head sublime. Before we went to that cross, before Jesus Christ went to that cross, there was no such ignominy. Say, you never did see anybody go around wearing an electric chair to his watch fob, did you? You never did see anybody go around wearing a gallus with a fella hanging by the neck to it as to his watch fob, did you? You never saw a woman with something like that around her neck, did you? Well, the cross, before Jesus died, before he went to it, was worse than any gas chamber. It was worse than any gallus on which any man ever hung by the neck. It was worse than any electric chair, and I've seen people die in the electric chair. It's a horrible thing. But you know that cross, don't get the wrong idea of it. It wasn't all lighted up. It was an ignominious, terrible, great, horrible piece of wood. No such agony, no such picture of horror. It was the last word that man could speak of ignominy, and yet he hung there. Now we sing songs about him, light him up that cross with electricity and put it on the church of this country. You know, hatred tried to get rid of Jesus, but you can't get rid of it. Go on down through the years, hatred tried to destroy the early church. Men's keen to eliminate Christianity from the earth. Men have tried to stop the gospel from being preached. Hatred has been organized. Men have tried to oppose institutions and Christian leaders. They can't do anything, not if we're doing God's work. Listen, if you're a Christian, a surrendered Christian, out and out for God, and you're honest about it, and you're sincere, and you mean what you're doing, you're not playing in this business, but you're absolutely true to God, and you're faithful to Him, you can't be killed till God gets through with you. Paul couldn't be killed until he could write Timothy a letter and said, I finished my course. Now Satan hindered him. He went down the road with opposition, and Paul said, I'd have come to you, but Satan hindered me. Devil can hinder you. He can give you a lot of trouble. He can wear you out, tire you out, and all that kind of situation. But if you can be stopped, then you're just not going God's way. If you're going God's way in mean business, all the counsels of the heathen, all the schemes and plans of wicked men, all the opposition of the world, the flesh, and the devil, all the forces of evil, there's nothing that can stop you till you do God's job to which God's called you if you are surrendered. Now let's remember that. Let's not forget it. That's what the psalmist says. The Lord brings the counsel of the heathens to naught. He maketh all the devices of the people of none effect. But now notice what he says. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. God is going to someday win out over all the forces of evil. God knows where he is going. And we ought to join God as he moves to victory. Because if we're with God, we're on the winning side. And every other person who's on the other side against God is on the losing side.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.